B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
It is the 5 o'clock hour, and it's the Mike Missinelli Show. You can climb in with this number, 610-632-0975. So that I'm still thinking about that game yesterday. I didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I did. The game that was shown on NBC Sports Philly last night, 2007, final game of the year on a sun-bleached day.
Yeah.
At Citizens Bank Park. And they did things the right, like they scored runs like in perfect sync. Like they scored a run in the later innings without a hit.
Yeah, they did a lot right.
The guy sacrificed. You know, they were a very enjoyable team to watch.
Yep, and that was vindication for Charlie, because they were saying yes. They couldn't do station to station and that stuff because he wasn't a good enough manager. He proved he was a really good manager.
Yeah. And when you think about Jimmy Rollins and that triple to give him 20, the fact that there are only three other players in Major League history have done that is a pretty significant achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the three that have done it, the most recent before Rollins was Curtis Granderson. I forgot how good of a player he was when he was younger.
Yeah, didn't they do it the same year?
Yes, I thought they did it the same year. Yeah, he actually did it that year. Yeah, that was 2007 when he did it. And Willie Mays had done it before.
Right.
But he is maybe the best player ever.
Mm-hmm.
And then some old-timer who I never heard of.
And Jimmy doing it at shortstop and playing gold glove level shortstop. No disrespect to the outfield.
He played 162 games.
That's what I mean. At a high level. And he put the bullseye on his own back and then went and backed it up. Mm-hmm. Like, that season should be revered, not just here, like baseball-wide. Mm-hmm. To say what he said, play shortstop at that level, and produce at that level.
Yeah.
That's an all-time season that probably is underappreciated in baseball lore.
There are a couple modern guys that just missed that 2020. Jose Reyes just missed it the year before. Ryan Sandberg almost did.
Really?
Yes. Mm. I mean, Ryan Sandberg had, listen to this, 19 home runs, 19 triples.
It's right there.
36 doubles, 32 stolen bases.
Mm-hmm.
One more triple, one more home run. Deprived him. George Brett almost did it as well.
He's a Hall of Famer. Well, yep. He got some great, and Reyes was a really, really good player too in his day too. So,
By the way, we were talking about comedians and who you find funny. You know, there, and that you know this because you're a comedy fan.
Yes.
There's this crop of young, attractive female comedians that are out right now. And I saw this girl on Netflix the other day. She's 26.
Mm-hmm.
The one heard of Taylor Tomlinson?
Yeah, she's the one with the quarter-life crisis, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've heard of her?
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't.
She's 26. And she started out, but she comes from a very religious family. So she started doing comedy at age 16 in church basements and stuff.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Her father's like very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And they took a stand-up comedy seminar together at the church. And she wound up getting so hooked on it that she actually became a professional. At 26, it's hard to have a really smooth delivery. And the girl's really smooth. But she went from church girl, and now she's a little risque.
Yeah. Well, so to me,
apparently the dad doesn't not with it.
Well, like listen, that's not rare for that's not surprising for a church girl,
right?
What to go risque?
Yeah.
To bust the ceiling?
Yes. Okay. That's not a.
So it's like a form of rebellion.
Yeah, that's very common.
Okay.
Yeah, by 26. Now she might be back to the church by 36, but 26. Yeah.
I mean, maybe once she's out, she's out.
Something I'm saying, sometimes they stay out and then sometimes they go back and it's just a phase. You find out later.
Well, let me ask you this. You're a 26-year-old former church girl. The parents come to see you. Can you have the parents come to see you without messing up your act?
You warn the parents and they can't sit eye level. You know where to put them.
Yeah.
Because with the bright lights and stuff on those stages, you can't see that many people. Like, I remember I could see Jay Moore, who's still on
Boy, you just
on
hate
site,
Jay Moore.
But I couldn't really, you can't
just
really see.
Hate that dude.
Yeah, no, I really hate him. But I have reason to hate him. I mean, that was a big moment. He tried to derail. Like, yeah, that's a real beef.
That's not right.
But I have to say, Colin Quinn, really good guy.
Yeah?
Took me to the side afterwards and was like, that guy put you in an exhaustive possible position. He was actually impressed when he came to the side.
Really?
Like, yeah,
oh, that was nice of him.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Michael Che, a jerk.
Who he was?
Yeah, he was a complete jerk.
Michael Che was?
Complete jerk.
Last Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, complete jerk. Artie Lang was a good guy. There were a lot of those guys.
It's funny because comedians, they have to be very competitive because they want their act to be better than the next guy. So I didn't know if they were friendly or they were cutthroat.
It depends. Now, Michael Che seemed, I don't know, because I was the only other black guy there. Uh-huh. I don't know what it is. No, because Sherrod Small was there. No, he was just a jerk.
Oh.
Sherrod Small was not a jerk. Colin Quinn was a overly nice guy. Like, went out of his way to talk to me. Like, to pull me to the side after the set and tell me, like, and help me. And,
that's nice of Colin.
But he also set up, like, he was like, you had no shot. He was like, what I should have done is, because I came out and I fire on Ralph Macchio. He's like, you should have just got off stage, like, 2 minutes. He's like, you should have just went. He was like, because once you hit a high note, you was like, you weren't going to be able to keep them because they're waiting for me.
Okay.
He was like, it's not your fault that they're waiting for me.
Yeah.
He was like, so just get out.
All right. 610-622-0975. We go back to the phones with Mike on a cell. What's up, Mike?
Hello. Hey, Mike. How are you?
How you doing?
All right. I just had a comment about the Phillies and then a couple more poignant comments. They had a pitcher at some point during the regular season from Lehigh Valley, J.D. Hammer. Oh, if you remember the guy had the glasses.
He was in training camp this year.
He could be a closer, don't you think?
No.
Well, I like him personally. You don't think they could get him back or something?
Well, he's in their system.
He's not gone.
He's in their system. He wasn't very consistent last year when he came up.
Well, he didn't get to play a whole lot either. He never batted.
You got a little provinciality going with you here, Mike? Are you from that area?
Well, I'm in Lebanon.
Okay. So you want your man from Lehigh Valley to make the squad?
Right.
Yeah, he's all right. I mean, he throws 95. He's got a lot of work to do. He's an arm, but like right now, he's not in the mix.
Okay. Well, then I wanted to talk about comedians all day. You know, you remember Andy Kaufman?
Yeah, Andy Kaufman I thought was funny for a very unusual way.
And, you know, he was the intergender champion of wrestling and all that.
Yeah, I remember that.
He would only wrestle women.
I remember that those wrestling days, yeah.
Yeah, he was very funny also. I really liked him.
What was the guy that he got into the beef with? Wrestler? Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler. I have one of him. It's called My Breakfast with Blassie. And he sits down with Fred Blassie at some diner.
Andy Kaufman does?
Yeah. And they're just having breakfast or whatever. It's funny.
Yeah, Andy was disturbed a little bit.
Yeah, he... Yeah,
which made him kind of funny. There. And I never knew whether it was a regular side to him, but he was determined never to show a regular side.
Right.
Which made it funny, I think.
Yeah.
In a different way of Robin Williams, because he never wanted to show a regular side either, but I found him unfunny.
Yeah,
it's really weird. I don't know. It's so subjective when it comes to comedy.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement. There's a stand-up comic named Neil Hamburger that I saw at the Mann Center in Philly.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. There's a lot of famous guys now. There are like six comedy channels on satellite where they just play routines, like short quips of routines. They have all these interview shows, which are just basically comedians interviewing other comedians. It's like they shut out the whole world. It's just like their own little world.
And that happens at comedy clubs too. For people like if you ever go to Duke stand up and you go to talk to like the veterans, it's very insular. And that's part of the reason why it's such a disturbing existence.
I listened to this show. It's an interview show. I don't know what's funny about this guy, but you see him pop up every now and then. Tom Papa.
Yeah.
What's funny about that guy?
I don't know.
He has this comedy show that he does with this other lesbian comedian named Fortune Femster.
Yeah, I've heard of her.
It's Papa and Fortune, and it's like it's their own radio show.
Oh, it's What a Joke, right?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I've listened to that before.
And I always thought, like, you know, I see his Tom Papa pop up every now and then. Like, he'll be the MC of a comedy show on TV. Like, I'm thinking, what is it with this guy? And I started to figure that he's the guy that's friendly to everybody.
Yeah.
And that's how he gets gigs, because he's friends with all of them, and he gets a gig. So it's not really his talent, it's the friends with the talent.
Have you watched, speaking of Andy Kaufman, have you watched Jim and Andy on Netflix?
No.
You should watch that if you liked Andy Kaufman. It talks about, did you see Man on the Moon?
Yeah.
So it talks about how Jim Carrey, when he was trying to get into that role, basically turned into Andy Kaufman. And he hasn't been the same since. It's a great, great Netflix documentary. Yeah. Really well done.
What's funny is he turned into what he thought Andy Kaufman was, but they say while Andy Kaufman never turned it off in front of the camera, as soon as you say cut, Andy Kaufman was regular.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Jim Carrey
couldn't
turn it off. So even when they say cut, he was still doing it, even though, but Jerry Lawler was in the movie. He was like, I don't know what he's talking about. When we were like, when they went on Letterman, right? He was like, they would just like be talking about it, and then they say, all right, we're back, and then he would get in the character, then he'd be back to being regular. Jim Carrey couldn't turn it off, and hasn't since.
He hasn't been able to.
Like, it broke his brain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, getting into the Andy Kaufman character, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway, earlier in the show, we were talking, we started out serious about what we have learned when this thing is all done, when we resume life. Will we have changed anything? When we're taking all these precautions and following all these guidelines now, will we have some kind of lesson that carries over when we resume? Like, what could it possibly be? Will we practice social distancing because of this? Or will we go back to normal? My sense is that human beings would just go back to normal. Like, once they've weathered the storm, they think they're immune again. And so I don't think many things will change, except for businesses now who realize that their employees don't have to come to the office in a lot of professions.
Yeah.
So that may change.
And then I wonder, does that affect, I mean, I guess it would affect commercial real estate, but if you're a company and you're struggling and you can literally have half the square footage, that would probably put you back into the red or the black, whatever one's good.
Yeah. How do people buy a house these days?
Oh, I know people who are going through that. Well, on the one hand, interest rates are really, really low.
Yeah, but how do you, like, you can't do that virtually. You have to be in the house with people to show you the house, right?
Well, you have those people, like, leave, apparently, like, go in the yard or whatever, and then you put on a mask. That's what I've heard. Mask and gloves.
Way they're doing it?
Yeah, the ones that'll do it. Some aren't doing it, and some people are kind of buying houses that they've driven by, and they use Zillow.
Sight unseen? Or not going in, buying the house?
Yeah, they have, like, the home inspector go in, but themselves don't, because they've seen all the pictures or whatever, as long as the home inspector says it's fine.
Man, I don't know if I could do that.
I could if I trusted the home inspector.
I actually bought a house sight unseen, but it was new construction, so.
That's quite different. But you have to trust your home inspector. Like my home inspector, if I ever buy another house, use him again. I trust him. Like, I think he would tell me, he was real honest. So,
all right, 610-620-975. Dave in Delco joins us. What's up, Dave? Yo, Dave. Oh, Dave's not there. All right. Oh, that wide's just open, completely open. This is the first time in history that I have had all open lines. This has never happened to me.
Well, it won't last.
I don't know what it's weird.
It is weird. It took a pandemic to do it.
And in the 5 o'clock hour, especially, it's odd.
Well, I think another factor is the people that are going to work. I know people say, "Oh, traffic's bad." It's not bad. So people are getting home quicker.
So I was going to say, how has the traffic been, guys?
I face no traffic
at all. Well, you never do.
No, when I come in and I leave, there is absolutely no one on the road.
Right.
On Monday, because my traffic gets worse as the week goes on.
Yeah.
Monday is my least traffic day. Friday's my biggest. I'm now getting home like 15 minutes quicker on a Monday, like 30 minutes quicker on a Friday.
Wow.
Right now, these last few weeks. Like, my Friday traffic is the worst. Now, it doesn't really matter. And getting in, forget about it. Like, usually it'll take me, it takes, like, the GPS can't even anticipate how quick I'm getting in.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. Thank God, I don't know how people who live in the city do it. Because thank God that I have a backyard. My backyard has been essential for me. I go out with the dog. I throw the ball. You know, if it breaks the monotony, you're being just stuck in the house. You can go out and you know, like do a little gardening or whatever you want to do. I like to go out and have a glass of wine and smoke a cigar. However, I find myself now reluctant to deplete my stash of cigars.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Because you can't get them.
Can't re-up.
Right.
And people say, well, you can get them online. I don't trust the online cigar provider.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get.
I've been doing some stoop sitting.
You have?
Yeah.
That's good. A stoop sitting is the same as, like, I put a lounge chair out there and, you know, I watch a tree sway.
Yeah.
You know? I find that refreshing.
There's a couple trees on my block.
The other advantage of this is we hit it when the days are getting longer and not shorter.
See, yeah.
So we're getting more sunlight each day right now, literally every day as this time goes on. I couldn't imagine this if the days were getting shorter, like that, like late fall and it's getting dark earlier and earlier. That would be
I asked my roommate yesterday, I said to her, I said, is it worse when the sun's out or when it's raining? Because when it's raining, you kind of don't want to go outside. Like me, I haven't really, I've gone for walks, like I've gone for runs, I've gone to the stores, but like I haven't really been anywhere. And looking outside and seeing the sunshine, it makes me a little bit sadder. I don't know. I feel like maybe it's easier the days when it rains. Maybe that's just awful.
Maybe because I'm still physically coming here.
I think
I'm enjoying like having sunlight or having light when I leave.
Yeah
that
but
could
if
just
I was
be
home
my
all day.
That could just be my state of mind right now. It's hard, guys. It's hard.
Yeah, I don't even go walks because people are walking. I don't want to run into people.
Yeah.
And why people are walking their dogs, so I just, you know, stay in my own little hut.
I go on walks with the missus, and I have to say, people are doing a good job with the social distance.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when somebody sees people coming, like, if you're in a sidewalk, people are going way in the street. Like, people are doing a good job for the most part.
Nobody wants this to continue. We all want to get out of this as quickly as possible. It's just... it's so insane, and it has. Having not really coming there every day has been difficult for me, because you guys know how much I love my job, and I know there's probably so many people who are watching and listening who are kind of going through the same thing that I'm going through.
Yeah, I did take my dog for a walk yesterday, and she three-pooped me.
Oh, that's tough. You didn't have three bags. There's no way you have three bags.
What'd you do?
She hasn't three-pooped me in a long time. I usually just take two bags.
Yeah.
Really.
Nobody has three bags.
And she on the gun lap home, she had another. She had another one. I got one, dude. And I'm trying, because, you know, I can't do anything at that point.
You only got two
bags. There.
You got no choice. That's on her. She should have to go back with a bag. What are you doing?
Came out of nowhere. Whoa. Oh, here it comes. Ian in Newark. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ian.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Ian?
Your show's been great, man, ever since No Sports. You guys are probably one of the best shows on here.
Well, thank you very much. We're trying our best here. It could be a time where I turn on, I go, I got nothing.
You guys are doing a good job. I got a question, though. Like Tyrone was saying about Ryan Howard not being appreciated. When I think about that Phillies, when they won it, I thought he was the main reason they won it.
but then years went on. And listen, he was worshipped early on. Right?
Okay.
And then years go on, and it's the curse of the home run hitter. When you introduce a standard, and then your team not win, and you're striking out, and you're still hitting, you know, home runs, but not as much, people get antsy. You know?
You see his stats for those 6 years? Those stats were amazing. Yeah,
they are. They had 4 years back-to-back where they were, you know, like they were historical.
Now, is he considered a Hall of Famer? I know it might be a dumb question.
No.
No, he can't be Hall of Fame for this.
No, he just doesn't have enough home runs to get in the Hall of Fame overall.
What do you think of Adam? Like, I don't think Adam Sandler's funny on stand-up, but you watch his movies, and his new movie, it's pretty good. He's a good actor, though. What do you think of
him? I like Adam Sandler. I'm an Adam Sandler fan. I actually like the goofy songs that he makes up. I think are really creative. You know, it's hard to do that, man.
Did you guys see the Uncut Gems? That was a great movie.
Yeah, I saw it. It was okay.
Yeah, and it was crazy. I watched that Bastards of Baseball. It was like an uplifting movie.
Did you watch that?
Yeah, that was great. Did you never hear of that? I never heard of it.
No, a guy had emailed me, and I checked it out. I had no idea it was Kurt Russell's father.
Yeah, that was a good recommendation, because that it was like, I need that to feel good, because you were right about the Ozark show. It's like so dark. It's like that Queen of the South.
It just hits you over the head with darkness. I can't take it anymore.
But the writing of the show is actually
pretty good, though. But
it is,
right,
but I don't like any character. And it's like, I don't, you know, I have no rooting interest for anybody in this.
But yeah, when you get a chance, Mike, watch Mindhunter. That's the best show on there.
Mindhunter, okay.
Yeah, watch that show. The first two seasons are great. So.
All right, I'll check it out.
So you guys are doing a great job. Thanks again. So.
All right, brother.
Thanks,
okay. All right. Ryan Howard, 160. All right, he went 159, 144. So he was hurt a little bit in 2007. 2008, he played all 162 in 2008. 48, 146, led the league. How did he not win the MVP that year?
Pujols.
Oh, Pujols won it?
Yeah.
He finished second.
Yeah, and I remember it was guys like Verducci saying, oh, he got hot late. And then I was like, why is that a negative? Pujols was more, I hated it.
By the way, in that game last night, there was a guy that I had forgotten about who pretty much saved their season. Because Utley missed 30 games that year.
Oh, yeah. Who was?
Man, they got him from the White Sox. Taniguchi.
Yeah.
He hit 304.
He did.
He came to the Phillies and played really well.
Again, that's that manager pressing the right buttons. Yeah.
Dan and Ben Salem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dan.
Hey, Mike, thanks for everything. You guys are great. Natalie, everybody. Basically, I just want to blame Brett Brown because just watching the Sixers, just like Joel and Simmons, like going all the way to the hoop and then turning the other direction and passing the ball out. I mean, isn't that really a function of the coach?
No,
I mean,
no, it's not.
It's not.
No. No, it's Ben Simmons. He's afraid to go to the basket.
No, but I mean, why is Joel all the way out, you know, taking three-pointers?
Because, listen, that doesn't happen all the time. And people have a misconception. He leads the league in post-ups.
Okay.
Joel Embiid. So it's almost like a home run hitter striking out. Like, you never think he hit a big home run in his life. You never think, once Embiid takes a three, you never think he ever posted. So it's just a mind game, mind trick. He does post, but when he comes out, the idea is you're opening things up for Ben.
Right. But I mean, they're like inches away from the basket, you know, for a slam dunk or, you know, just a layup.
Yeah, that's a Ben Simmons problem.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the only one that does it.
All right. I mean, it's just, you know, it's amazing. You figure the coach would, you know, be forthright and say, hey, look, you know, you gotta put that in the basket.
Yeah, I got to think he's telling him that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's a coaching problem. I think it's a Ben problem.
Sort of feels like a coaching problem to me.
Yeah, all right, well, okay. Your mindset on that. So, Ben Simmons going to the basket and stopping and kicking it out is not what a coach would want, okay? And that's a Ben thing, and it's one of the things that drives me nuts about him.
Yes, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not Brett Brown's fault that he gets into the basket and all of a sudden turns back and throws it out. Now, there is dribble penetration kick out for a three, but not when Ben is that close. He just doesn't want to continue the momentum to the basket and get fouled or whatever.
Yeah, I can't. We blame Brett for plenty of stuff. That's not the player.
Yeah. All right, 610-622-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's been a fun show today. Joe Girardi also was really good. He's a guy. Listen, he's straight up. You know, nothing funny about the guy. Good guy, knows baseball, played, managed at a high level, and there's nothing not to like about him, really.
Yeah, he's going to fit in really well. When there's eventually games, he'll be a favorite.
All right, it's time to get the final numbers on our Twitter poll. Not much discussion on this today. I guess people really don't care that much about it to discuss it. But it's the Twitter poll question brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Get your lawnmower zero turn or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer & Sons online parts warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Natalie, how does the public feel about Elton Brand?
Well, there are 1,900 votes on today's poll. Should the Sixers let Elton Brand go to the Knicks if he wants to? 73% say yes, 27% say no.
So. All right. Okay. Thank you very much. All right, let's go back to the phones and talk to James in Berlin. James, what's up, James?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
Not much. Just trying to keep staying here. I guess I'll talk to a quick sports.
Okay.
I guess it's pretty tough out there. You know, I'm missing Colin Troops, but I'm not a fan of the Sixers these days very much because, you know, the process and all, but it is what it is. And that's that. Yeah, it's funny you guys mentioned the roads because that's one of the only things that's better about all this every day. No problems on the Schuylkill Expressway anywhere.
You know, how hard is it to be, like, how are you a traffic reporter these days?
It's funny because every day it's the same thing. You know, it's clear. But then again, the thing is, when it was 5 o'clock and it's rush hour during normal time, it's the exact same thing anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, traffic reporters are, you know, because every morning show has them, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, all right.
But, yeah, I did some stand-up in New York City a little bit. I also worked at a comedy club, bartended. And you guys are right. Those guys are, you know, it's all tight-knit people. You know, like, it is. It's like a small world they live in. And, you know, they stick together. And a lot of people say that.
You know, yeah, a lot of them are big supporters of each other's career. And I go, well, there's also got to be some cutthroat in there. Because if another guy's successful, that keeps you down, you know?
Yeah, and then some people will say that all real good comics are freaking nuts in the head anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm sure that most comics are insecure, right?
Well, definitely like attention, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, that's how they compensate for the insecurity by getting the attention on stage.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to say, you know what, there's so much stuff out there these days, and it's like, I'm not a huge stand-up fan, even though I love comedy, so I'm always afraid to invest my time, you know, in somebody, being that I'm afraid they're going to suck.
Yeah.
So, like, of course I love the best guy, Chappelle, you know, Chris Rock, you know, Richard Pryor, but some of these new guys, like, oh, do I give him a chance? I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of them out there. Like, Netflix has really opened up a whole different level for them, because they all seem to have Netflix specials.
Yeah, Netflix is the new thing, and it also, Netflix gave everybody the technology to lock the phones. Because that was a big thing that comedy was getting out. And unlike a song, you don't want to hear the joke the third or fourth time. You want to hear it fresh.
Yeah.
So they came out with the thing where you can lock up the phones and then protect their investment. So now that's been the key.
Colin on a cell. What's up, Colin?
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Now, I know this is like beating a dead horse, but you think Ben Simmons is shooting some threes at his home while he's quarantined, or no?
Yeah, he always shoots threes. He shoots threes no matter where he is. He just doesn't do it in the game.
Oh, I know.
I'm sure he's shooting as many threes as his heart's content.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
that
yeah,
doesn't mean
you're going
to do it when the game starts.
Yeah, it's just hard. It's going to be tough to swallow if, you know, you come back from a four-month layoff, essentially the off season, and he can't shoot still. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't think he's actually... You think you're going to see a different Ben?
In my heart, no. But playoff Sixers, I would like to see some Ben Simmons shooting.
Nah, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. I doubt a season's going to happen, but certainly if a season resumes, I'm not so sure we're going to see the new Ben take the wrap off. Yeah?
No, yeah, especially in a playoff setting. But,
yes.
I got another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the Eagle Eye podcast with Ruben Frank and Dave Zangaro. They kind of painted the picture Howie Roseman is essentially content with his receivers, or at least playing that card.
Yeah, he said that, actually. He was quoted as saying, we like our receivers. But that's just, that's BS.
Yeah, but Do you think they are overvaluing them at all, or
no?
No,
no. I think they know they need receivers. Yeah, because let's face it. I mean, logically, you got DeSean Jackson coming back, but you don't know that he's going to come back. And with he's now an older player coming off an injury. You got the Alshon problem. You can't be comfortable with that situation. You got Greg Ward. You can't count on Greg Ward. And then you got the kid that they drafted. So you can't even count on him. You can say whatever you want that he's going to have a better year, and this is, but you can't count on it right now. So that's just kerfuffle.
Yeah,
that he's given to fans.
I just wanted to. That's kind of what I expected, but I was just wondering because you can't really, blame them for last year, but they did seem to value the receivers last year very highly. So,
well, at the start, before DeSean got hurt, they thought they'd be in good shape because they had a yin and a yang with the possession guy and the speed guy, but that didn't work out very well.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Colin. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Tim in Hamilton. What's up, Tim? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What's up, Timmy? How you doing?
Good. So I just wanted to call, and I guess if there's any kind of silver lining in this, my girl actually works for the State Health Department here in New Jersey. So every day I'm coming home, hearing stuff that isn't on the news yet or anything like that. It's stressful. She's going through it right now, but...
The nurses and the healthcare professionals that are dealing with who are, it's just mind boggling. And, they have to come to work. So, I have great empathy for them.
Yeah, she's actually now quarantined to home because they had a few people in their office actually get coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So it's been tough. It's been crazy. But the silver lining, I guess, with all this is, to realize that this is bigger than sports when you hear about all these players stepping up to, donate money or, Ben Simmons with the whole Phil Abundance stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't wait until sports start back up so that way we can show the appreciation for, what they've done to help us and help each city and everything like that. It's awesome to hear how much people are donating and
it is. That's the American way too. We usually respond pretty well to that.
Right. So, I just can't wait for this to start back up.
Yeah, in fact, the Sixers made big donations at Cooper Hospital and CHOP today.
Okay. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need it more than, anything right now. And seeing what the Patriots did with their team plane and all that stuff, just the appreciation when sports start back up with the standing ovations and everything like that, that they should definitely receive.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. I have great respect for parents who are trying to keep their kids inside because kids don't really understand. Like, they want to go, can I go see my friend? And it's hard. You got to put your foot down. Like, no, you cannot. And it's hard to do that, man, when you got kids in the house and there's all that pressure and intensity of them being there and they want to get out and they don't really understand. And, they don't see the harm in hanging out with a couple friends.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. I know that a lot of parents are setting up those Zooms. It's like with the whole classroom, like they talk to the teacher, they get the thing, and then they got the whole classroom like once a week to try to interact with the friends and stuff. That's got to be a real challenge.
Yeah. But hang in there, parents.
The good thing is
strong. Don't give in to them.
The kids like technology. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times parents will be taking away the tablets, and I hear a lot of parents are like, you know what? Right now, just take it. Because that keeps them inside versus them whining about this, that, and the other thing. So.
Yep. 610-622-0975. Again, we don't do sound off these days, so we'll take your calls until we have to get out of here at 5:55. The Mike Misnelli Show returns after this on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Wore this number. 51.
Who wore 51?
Carlos Ruiz.
Oh, really?
And think about this for a second. 51's odd.
Yeah,
I don't even, like, that doesn't connect with me at all with Ruiz, 51.
No.
It's a weird number.
That is a weird number.
For a star player to have.
It's a weird number, actually, even in football. There's no 51? Great 51s, and that's a linebacker number. There's no great 51 off the top. Like, you know, you think of 56, yeah. 53. You don't think 51.
In baseball, when you get to 50 and above, you got weirdness. Don't you think?
I think so.
Like, the right fielder, who was a very good player with the Phillies, wore 53. Bobby Abreu wore 53. Lidge was a 54. But then you get a big drop off.
When you go to the high numbers?
Actually, you get the all-time saves leader wore 58. Hard to believe he's the all-time save leader. Jonathan Papelbon would have 58.
Yeah.
But then you got, like, remember this guy? Antonio Bastardo.
I do remember Bastardo.
What, he fell off the
yeah, what
planet.
What happened to Bastardo?
Idea. He was once a promising guy you could count on.
Yeah, and then did he get hurt? Like, what happened to Bastardo?
I think he did. And the only other guy, Antonio Bastardo, yeah, he left-handed, he could throw hard, he struck out some. And then, well, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, he was.
I guess the all-time above 50 guy is Ryan Mattson.
Now, that guy.
I loved Mattson.
He was 63.
Now, that guy was dealing. When he was the setup guy for Lidge, I felt comfortable.
Yeah, they were.
I was just as comfortable with him.
Yeah, they were lights out for 8th and 9th. Keem on his cell. What's up, Keem? Yo, Keem, what's up? Hello?
Hello? Hey, yeah. Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, buddy? Mike? How you doing?
I know you guys, you know, how I'm talking about, you know, politics and everything. So I'm a long time. I'm listening to you guys for like a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the show and everything. And the only thing about it is I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm not a Sixers fan. I'm a diehard Packers fan, Lakers fan.
And you're from here?
Yeah, I'm from here. But I've been a fan of them since I was 19.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how long you've been a fan.
I'm 32 years old.
Yeah, man, it doesn't matter. Don't give me I've been a fan since 9. You're still wrong. You're still wrong. Whether you're 9 or 4, it doesn't matter to me.
I love the Phillies and I love the Flyers, though. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
But no, I wanted to actually check out these couple movies, man. For Life, the new 50 Cent show to come on Empathy.
When is that on?
They come on Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, NBC.
You seen that yet? For Life?
It's
a network show?
Network
show? 50 Cent's behind a network show?
Yeah, man. It's pretty good, man. Like I said, he took the bar while he was in jail.
I'm sure network shows don't. It's really hard for me to watch a network show. It really is. You got the commercials. You got not the real language. It's hard.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah. That's one that kills you, man. About it.
Yeah, hey, it's hard. Hey, I'm spoiled by the premium channel, the Netflix thing.
Hey, I know you talk about a lot of movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about like Carlito's Way, and all that. You like that movie?
Yeah, I liked Carlito's Way. I wasn't crazy about it. It was all right. It was interesting. Somebody on Twitter was saying, was listening to their top five mob type movies and asked me whether Donnie Brasco was on it. And I didn't have Donnie Brasco in my top five. Although I like it, and I watched it again last night. It's not a top five.
It's not all the way up there.
Right?
For you.
Is it?
No, not for me. Real fast with the numbers. Mm-hmm. Ichiro wore 51.
Oh, okay.
And Dick Butkus. So I guess in football.
All right, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but that's going way back. Maybe, I think, what did Derek Thomas wear? Maybe he wore 51.
Really?
But if for some reason, it doesn't jump off for me, 51. Uh-huh. And Ichiro wearing it does. I don't know baseball numbers, so you could have told me he wore 15,
yeah.
7, I wouldn't know.
Well, your mob movies, babe.
Well, all right, so Derek Thomas, 56.
Godfather's 1, right?
Godfather's 1. For me, all right, Godfather's 1. Casino is 2 for me. For me.
Yeah.
Then Goodfellas.
Uh-huh.
Then Godfather 2.
Yeah.
And then my 5th. It's not Bronx Tales.
I agree with all 4 of those. But yeah. My fifth would be Departed.
Yeah, mine would. Maybe it would be Carlito's Way.
Yeah. Or ahead of Donnie Brasco? Brasco's got to be ahead of
that. Yeah, Donnie Brasco.
You don't like Departed?
I did not love Departed.
Really?
I don't know why. It's a really, really well-done movie. I reckon. I don't know.
Huh.
Maybe because of the, well, I guess it's the statute. All the death? I don't know.
I enjoyed Departed.
It was good. Oh,
it was good. It's a go-to. Like, it's a repeat. It's a repeater for me.
Yeah, see, it's not for me. I don't know why. It didn't hit me that way.
I know. It's a repeater for Nat.
Yes, it is.
Let's go to Mike in Lansdale. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, not much. Hey, I'm not sure if you guys touched on this today. I'm in and out of my truck all day delivering, so it's like hit or miss. But I saw a story on Yahoo Sports this morning that said Gabe Kapler is using MLB The Show currently to evaluate his own players, opponents, and kind of work on game time decisions in terms of, you know, when to pull a pitcher, hit and run, those type of things. What's your take on that? And have you ever heard of a coach or a manager basically admitting in public to the media that they're using a video game to?
No, I've never heard of it. Yeah, and listen, I'm one of these guys. If you think you can get an edge from every little thing, you should use it. I actually have no. I don't think about him at all. To be honest with you, so I don't really care what he does. But listen, if a guy is a manager and he feels the need to use every little thing that can help him, I've got no qualm with it. Now, whether it helps him or not is the question. But the fact that he thinks it could help him and it's just additional information, man, knock yourself out.
It just seems kind of comical, especially with everything that went on here.
To the average person, it does. But from a guy who's managing a game and he wants every bit of data he can to help him, I don't blame him.
Hey, last thing, I know a lot of people have thanked you guys, can't thank you guys enough. I mean, I'm in my truck all day, and you guys really kind of help my day go by a lot quicker and just kind of keep my mind off, you know, everything that's going on, because I mean it's scary being out here, I'm not gonna lie, but you guys really,
what do you do, Mike?
I deliver for FedEx.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you guys are the best. You really are. Keep doing what you're doing. I had a delivery today. It was on. So my wine's all stocked up. That's it. All stocked.
Good. It's good you got the wine.
He came. The guy was a really nice guy. He distanced himself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sign. I didn't have to sign for it. He said, "You're good."
That's really smart.
I had the gloves on. And I wiped down the package. All that.
And you're good to go. Yep.
Yep. All right. Jerry in Havertown. Jerry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jerry.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Jerry?
Great show.
Thank you, buddy.
I have a quick question. I enjoyed the conversation about comedians. I was wondering if you saw the documentary The Aristocrats.
I have seen that.
It is hilarious. The joke.
Yeah, the one joke. Right. And Gilbert Gottfried is the king of that joke.
and they say that Bob Saget tells the, I guess, the version.
The filthiest one of it. Yes.
Yeah. And,
yeah, I did see that movie. Who did that movie? Penn and Teller?
Penn Jillette was the producer. Yeah. And I just love the fact that it opened up with George Carlin opened it up telling us a version of the joke.
Yes.
And it was like so many varieties of the joke and so many versions. It was just a wonderful documentary.
Yeah, I actually did like it a lot.
Great.
Yeah, it's a good call by you.
Thank you so much.
All right, Jerry. You got it. You've seen that?
I've not seen that. Sounds interesting.
You know what, the joke that's like told in different filthy versions. I forget what the joke is.
Well, I'm fine.
But you have to look at the joke. It's like the joke has been told for 30 years the same way, but mm-hmm. people put their different spins on it
and get
dirtier and raunchier with it.
Oh.
All right, so stay tuned. NHL 20, Flyers versus Penguins, will lead you into Flyers Red Wings from 12-18-18. That was Carter Hart's debut on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for Joe Torty right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Be safe, everybody, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.